aspect of leadership in this. Certainly spoke about the effect of falling out, falling away from Jonathan, but also the application that it also has effects on others. So we see in 2 Samuel 4:4, Mephibosheth finds out, the maid finds out about the father and grandfather's death. She runs off with him, and his legs are broken, and he's crippled physically as a result of basically his father and grandfather David. And certainly we probably see the spiritual application with that in going down that same path, the spiritual path that we talked about with Jonathan, our children, those around us and whatnot, those who are affected by the same mistakes that we are making, and the spiritual crippledness that would become on them. But I think that also brings to the light, I don't want to run too far here from the exact subject, but I think one of the things that we see in David towards Mephibosheth then in 2 Samuel 9 is David, again, as we've talked about being the Lord here, his faithfulness in attempts again for restoration. So that restoration couldn't happen with Jonathan, but yet there's still an attempt made later on, and just how wonderful that is in our own lives, that the Lord is still faithful.
Just before we read about the death of Jonathan in 1 Samuel 31, there is one further fact that perhaps should be noted. That's what we have in verse 1 of 1 Samuel 31. It says, "The men of Israel fled from before the Philistines." I assume that's all of the men of Israel, including Saul and Jonathan and Saul's other sons, that they all fled from before the enemy. Clearly not what the Israelites, God's people, should have been doing, and they should have been standing firm, relying upon God, defending the land that was theirs. But yet, when they saw the enemy, they, including Jonathan, fled. In terms of an application for us, and perhaps connecting with the verse in 1 Peter chapter 5, it tells us there that Satan is walking around seeking whom he may devour. He is a very active enemy. We should never forget that. We should always be on our guard. But the New Testament never tells us to flee from him. We are to flee youthful lusts and other things, but we are to stand, as it says in Ephesians chapter 6, I think. We are to resist the devil, and rather than us fleeing from him, the result of that is that he flees from us.
I was thinking of the same verse, or the chapter that Brother Mark just mentioned, about the armour that we have. And if we think of the shield of faith, the shield that we have to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, it's perhaps a challenge or something to remind us about what is a shield. A shield, if you think of old Roman times, it's a big kind of piece of metal that they would hold in front of them. There's no shield they had behind them, because they're not meant to run from the enemy. They stand up to the enemy. They have the shield in front of them, and you stand up to the enemy, you don't run. And perhaps just another thought here about the Philistines, how they're fighting Israel. The challenge of Goliath against the people was that we read in 1 Samuel 17, 1 Samuel 17 verse 9, this is the challenge that Goliath puts down: "If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants." So Goliath and his side, perhaps speaking of the world, they make a deal. And what do we find here? I thought they're meant to be the servants. They've been defeated. But you see the enemy, they don't follow any of the deals they make. The enemy will persist and still keep trying to attack. So we do need to watch out for the consistent, persistent attacks of the enemy. Don't ever think the enemy will strike a nice deal with you and let you live according to the way God would have you live. He may strike a deal here and there, but he'll keep coming back until he can wipe you out.
end, we see that Jonathan is with Saul, for Saul's last stand. It's a famous battle in our American history called Custer's Last Stand, where General Custer is surrounded by and his whole contingent is wiped out by City Wall and its Sioux warriors. And there's an interview that took place sometime after that event where the general of the army was asked, how could this happen? And he gave a rather short but interesting answer. He said, well, he wasn't supposed to be there in the first place. And I think this would be a suitable statement for Saul. He wasn't supposed to be there in the first place. We know that when David was leading the military campaigns, they were winning. On the other hand, when David was in the wilderness and Saul was in charge, we see what the end was. One of the things that I observed in reading these passages before coming here was that Jonathan and David was a dynamic duo. But there were some other dynamic duels in the Old Testament. There was Cain and Abel, a lot of characteristics similar there. There was Ishmael and Isaac. And as I looked at those three different duos, I was reminded of the characteristics in the New Testament of the old nature and the new nature. If you go to Colossians 5, you'll see that it tells us there to put, Colossians 3, to put off the old nature, the old man, and to put on the new man. And I think that's the lesson for us as we look at these two dynamic people in terms of their relationship to each other.
I have one thing in mind. Just two verses came into my mind from the life of Ruth, chapter 1. This verse came into my mind. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I'll go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die. I want to focus here. And there will I be buried. The Lord be so to me, and more also, if aught, but death part thee and me. So again, I would like to read another verse that came to my mind from 2 Samuel chapter 15 about the life of Ittai. Verse 20 and 21. Whereas thou camest but yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with us? Seeing I go whither I may, return thou and take back thy brethren. Mercy and truth be with thee. And Ittai answered the king and said, as the Lord liveth and as my Lord the king liveth. Surely in what place my Lord the king shall be, whether in death, I want to focus here, or life, even there also will thy servant be. So what I mean is that David, Jonathan, in fact, had to have this attitude and this mind, what was in the life of Ruth and in the life of Ittai. But we don't see that continuously in his life. And he detached, he associated with the man after the flesh, and he had to die such a sad death. But Lord always wants such affection which Ruth has and which we see in the life of Ittai. So may the Spirit of God generate such affection in every one of our lives so that we might conclude our spiritual journey in a good manner.